You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
I'm Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater. Well, it is just such a gift to be with you here today. I am so thrilled, and it's just so wonderful to see all your beautiful faces and to be with you today. Well, my name is Dawn B., and I've been in Overeaters Anonymous, if you can believe this, since the late 1970s. Came in when I was 18 years old. And what happened was there was a doctor who had come over from Mayo Clinic who worked with people with eating disorders and obesity, came to talk at our college. And somebody asked him during the question and answer section after he got done with his talk to our biology class, somebody asked him, you know, what's the best diet out there or way to lose weight? And I kind of sat up and was listening, and he said, for the lifetime of the individual, I would say Overeaters Anonymous. And I said, that is for me. I have no idea what it is, no idea, no clue, but that was for me. And so since then, I found a meeting and started attending. So it took me. I'm one of the slowest learners you'll ever come across. It took me almost 35 years in the rooms. I must say that there were some of those years, though, that the only one who knew I was a member of Overeaters Anonymous was me. But it took me almost 35 years before I was able to get abstinent for more than 3 days here, 7 days there, 21 days once or twice, in almost 35 years. So if you think about it, I really am a specialist, an expert, so to speak, of half measures, delusional thinking, failure in the program. That really is my specialty. And so I'm here before you today to say that this program definitely works if you work it. 9 years ago, all thanks be to God, I finally realized that I am going to die in my disease. I was over, I don't really know how much, over 120 pounds of what I am now. And I realized that this is absolutely life or death for me. There's nothing ahead for me except for a lot more pain, a lot more suffering, and an early death. Or I need to clearly identify my alcoholic foods and put them down. 100%. I'd been trying to do it in moderation, been trying to do it in just, half measures. It simply was not working. So I clearly identified my alcoholic foods and put them down. I started working the program like my hair was on fire, and I started to, work this program like my life depended on it, because it absolutely does. And that is true for me to this day. My life depends on this program, and I work it like my hair is on fire. And so I'm, like I said, I'm down over 120 pounds from my top weight. I actually don't know what my top weight was, because I stopped weighing myself. It was just too depressing. And So worked the program. I hooked myself up to an IV of Recovery Voices. So I went to a lot of meetings, almost every day, went practice replacement behaviors. I studied the literature. I took notes. I was just, going just listening, reading the daily readers, just doing all I could to work this program like my life depends on it. With all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver, that was how I grabbed hold of it. Since then, I can truly say that, I started to feel younger. My brain started to work better. I had more energy, more enthusiasm for life, and it has just gotten better and better and better. And I can honestly say that I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams, not because my circumstances have changed dramatically, but because the attitude that I have about my circumstances has been transformed through the working of the steps on a daily basis. And particularly working steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And when you're working steps 10, 11, 12, you're really working all the steps, you know, on a daily basis. And so that's what I do. I used to hang out in steps 1, 2, and 3 and, kind of did the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know, kind of hung out there. But realized most recently that, no, the idea is that once you go through the steps, the idea is to hang out in steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis and to work those like your hair is on fire. So that's what I do. So what happened to me was I wasn't aware of the doctor's opinion at the time, but the message is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the doctor's opinion, where it talks about having an allergy. And that is so true for me. I read that and thought, that is absolutely it. I have an allergy when I take in certain alcoholic substances that I need to clearly identify. It triggers a craving beyond my ability to resist. And I, just as sure as gravity, I am going to be eating more of that and going to be having a hard time putting it down. I am lost in my disease. And so those alcoholic substances now are death to me. You know, I do not pick them up, not even a little bit. Those are death to me. And then also there's that mental obsession. So if I'm not taking in my alcoholic substances, I still have that mental obsession that can only be taken care of through the power greater than me, through the working of the steps. And so I must, on a daily basis, continue to work the steps so that I'm able to enhance and enlarge my spiritual condition and be able to continue to experience abstinence and recovery on a daily basis, one day at a time. This is a beautiful program. I'd like to tell you, I'm a mother. I have 4 young adult children. 3 of them have autism. 2 also have mental illness. And they all live at home with me here, with my husband and I. My husband is a cancer survivor. He had advanced tongue cancer. And he's still has, you know, some health issues as a result of that. But he's a survivor for almost 20 years now. He's a cancer survivor. And so we're very, very grateful for that. So this program really is an absolute life changer. And I'm just going to make note of where is the heart of the program for me? What really speaks to me, page 62 of the big book, at the bottom of the page where it says, it talks about selfishness, self-centeredness. And I first was reading this when I first joined OA. This was all they had, was the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That was the only literature book that we had. And they started reading about, you know, alcoholics and in this chapter, how it works. And I just thought, you know, this is the strangest thing. I'm not an alcoholic. I really could care less about alcoholics, you know, their situation. And really, I'm just here to lose some weight. So if you could just tell me how to do that, I will do that. And then I'll be gone. I really don't want to waste my time looking at the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But, you know, I hung around because, you know, after all, that doctor did say that this is the way to, you know, for lasting weight loss. So I hung around. But little did I know, this has everything in the world to do with me. There on page 62, where it talks about selfishness, self-centeredness, that is the root of my trouble. So when it says the word root, that should be like buzzers flashing, you know, flashing lights, buzzers going off. You know, I need to really pay attention. That's the root of my troubles. So that's the core. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. What? You know, that was really a surprise to me. I'm making my own problems? No, these other people are making my problems. It's these other issues that are the problem. I am not the problem. So I thought, selfishness, self-centeredness. Well, I'm not really a selfish person. You know, it was talking about dishonesty. Well, I'm not really a dishonest person. Does this really have anything to do with me? But yes, it does. And the bottom page 62, where it says, this is the how and the why of it. First of all, so it says first. So not second, not third, not, you know, but first of all, so again, this is I feel like this is one of the most important paragraphs in the big book to me. Speaks to me. First of all, I had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Wow. And when I was going through the fourth step, my sponsor said, you know, look at ways that you're playing God. And I thought, well, that really doesn't make a lot of sense. But it certainly makes a lot of sense to me now. I have to quit playing God. It doesn't work. Next, we decided hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple. And this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. So this is a very important paragraph. When I came into the program, and for many years after that, actually, you know, if you think of a solar system with the sun in the middle and all the planets revolving around the sun, I thought my outlook on life was, you know, that I'm in the center and everything is supposed to revolve around me. And so I can be rightfully ticked off if people aren't doing what I need them to do and things aren't going the way I need them to go, because I am in charge and that really is the way life works. I need to try to be in charge and to get things to go the way I want to. And what the program teaches me is that, no, really taking that same diagram of the solar system, my higher power is in the center and everything is to revolve around the higher power. So now, you know, I have to quit playing God. I have to quit thinking that I know what needs to happen next for other people. I know the way my husband needs to be acting. I know the way my children need to be acting. I know what's best for everybody, and I need to get everybody to do what I know is the best for them. And that's not what the program teaches. The program teaches, no, that I need to quit playing God. I have no clue what needs to happen next, not for me and not for anyone, not for the in order for the greater good, God's greater good to be the end result. I have no idea. I can't even tell the difference between a tragedy or a blessing, because oftentimes in my life, what seemed to be the worst possible thing turned out to be a huge blessing, even in my own life. You know, I think of my husband's cancer, autism, you know, mental illness. These have been, you know, real deep challenges, just which I thought were unspeakable tragedies. And that's how, when I did the steps this last time, you know, when I was doing my harms done, that was the harm that I had done, was that I didn't believe that my higher power could bring anything good out of my children having autism. I thought that it made their lives less successful. It made their lives less valuable. I thought that, you know, that it was just a horrible thing. And my amends and what I learned through that process was living amends was to ask my higher power to help me to see them more like you see them, God. So I would be asking for God's definition of what a successful life is. Help me to see them more like you see them. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. Help me to understand your definition, God, of a successful life. And that was a beautiful, beautiful transformation. What I learned is that in God's eyes, they are perfect. They are infinitely valuable. They are loved beyond measure. And they are treasures. They are delights in God's eyes. And I just get goosebumps, you know, even speaking about it. The beautiful truths that this program has unlocked for me has been priceless. I am truly living the life beyond my wildest dreams, not because my circumstances have changed, but my attitude through the working of the steps on the daily basis has been transformed. And I am infinitely grateful, forever grateful. And I am so happy to be able to continue to, carry this message. I have to, first of all, I have to quit playing God. I am blind, but my higher power sees perfectly. I realized through doing the steps that I suffer not because of other people or because of circumstances. I suffer when I try to play the higher power and I try to force my will. That's when I suffer. I make myself suffer, and that's when I make other people suffer. And so I have to quit playing God. Once I saw this poster, it had billions and billions of stars all over. It was just this big poster and just, you know, the countless stars in the night sky. And it had this little tiny arrow with a little tiny words. I had to kind of bend over to read what was on the arrow. And it says, "You are here." And it was just this little speck of light. And then, I thought, really, though, that little speck of light, that's the Milky Way galaxy. And there are 300 million, I believe, suns in our Milky Way galaxy. And there are at least double or triple that of planets going around those suns. And all of those, suns are light, millions of light years away from one another. So comparatively speaking, in God's creation, I'm like this little fleck of dust floating in the air, And so for me to think, yes, I want to work for God, but I want to work in an advisory position for God. That was how I always thought I wanted to be of service to God, was to be in an advisor. But the truth is that I am blind. The creator of all that exists sees perfectly.
3 minutes left.
Thank you. And I have no clue what needs to happen next in order for God's greater good to be the end result. I am blind, but my higher power sees perfectly. So every day, what I'm doing, what I'm focusing on, is on page 85 in the big book. This is my work now. I live in steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And this is what I focus my will on. It's the first paragraph there, first full paragraph on page 85. It's easy to let up on our spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for food is a subtle foe. We are not cured of our compulsive overeating. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. So now, rather than using my will to try to get people and circumstances to be the way I already know the way they need to be, that's not what I'm spending my time on. What I'm spending my time on is focusing on, pausing before I go into that knee-jerk reaction of how I respond to my children or my husband. I'm pausing and I'm asking, God, Please help me to see them more like you see them. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. You know, thinking of God as my director. So, you know, there's a lot of movie sets in Southern California. So I'm asking for my lines. What is my line? What are my lines here, God? What would you have me say? How would you have me act in this situation? What is your will? How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Your will, God, is my only goal. Help me to see them more like you see them. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. And help me to see myself like you would desire for me to see and to love myself. Help me to speak to myself as you would delight in me talking to myself. It's a beautiful life, these steps. It's a beautiful life. And may these thoughts go with me and all of us constantly. How can we best serve thee? Higher power, your will, not ours, be done. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.